Have your Bibles turned with us to 2 Samuel chapter 23 as we look into the Word of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We go on, begin reading down there in verse number 7. Verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite, that sat in the seat chief among the captains. The same was Ado, the Ezite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hohite, one of the three mighty men of David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and he clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammai, the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. And where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. And he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam, and a troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in Hol, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, and was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father, we come to thee in the name which is above every name, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanking thee, our God, through his blood, that I have exiled this night into thy presence. Ask of thee, our Father, that you'll set a watch at the door of my lips. Don't let me preach anything. Be contrary to the Bible and Word of God. And whatsoever I preach might minister grace to the hearer. Encourage the saint. Edify the body of Christ. Glorify the Son of God. Convict the sinner, Lord. We come here tonight that we may gather around the Word of God, that we may draw from the wells of thy mighty well, Lord, tonight. And God, I'm asking you to anoint me in that mighty power of the Spirit of God. I need that unction from on high, Lord, that I may bring forth the Word of God tonight. You may go forth and accomplish the purpose you intended. For you said, God, that your Word would not come back void. And our Father, we believe that tonight. Now, Lord, sanctify my heart unto thy Word, Lord. And God, I'll praise you and I'll thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In verse number 15, and David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." I want to bring a message like, "Oh, the water of the well of Bethlehem." Now, as we sit here in the presence of God and His great book opened under these divine passages of Holy Scripture, with great setting forth unto us, in which there is the needed power of the Holy Spirit to bring them forth. Now, as we open our hearts unto the words that He has set before us, that He that is ever lovely may step forth in our presence, that He might we might behold Him in all His divine majesty. Now, David, we know, is a type in the Bible of Jesus Christ, the King of Israel. But he is in flight from Saul and found himself in the cave of Adullam. There's no doubt, very weary and thirsty, he began to let his mind drift back to those times when he used to attend his dead sheep in the Judean hills, and he'd get kind of thirsty and come home, and he'd think about that well by the gate of Bethlehem. him. Now I'm told that there's not many wells in the area, but we know there's more than one, because he specifies one well, and that's well by the gate. And we notice also that the Philistines were in Bethlehem. The Philistines is always around those things which pertain unto God. You'll find that we have those Palestinians today who are causing all the trouble in the land of Israel. Them Philistines are still around. And so we find here David, though David's not the king, but he is the anointed king. He is God's king. And Saul is not right with God. He's lost the power of God, and God's took the spirit away from him. We find here in the Word of God how David is the one that went out and fought Goliath and defeated Goliath. If you'll notice in the Scriptures, David never one time called that man a giant. He never one time said that Goliath was a giant. He called him that uncircumcised Philistine. Yeah. And the reason David never called him that, because David didn't see the giant, he saw God. Saul's problem, he saw the giant. David's three brothers that was up there with Saul, their problem was they saw a giant. David saw God. Amen. And that's how he was able to go out and defeat him, because he told him, I come to thee in the name of the host of the God of Israel, and he'll deliver thee this day into my hand. David knows what it was to be out on that Judean hill. You know what it was when a bear came up, and that bear came up and took one of his lamb, and David went out and slew that bear. You know when a lion came up there, and he went out and slew that lion. So when Saul calls David forth to the battle, he said, you can't go out against this man, because you're just a lad. He's been a man of war from his youth up. So David began to rehearse that time with the bear and the lion. And he told Saul, said, don't fear, I'll go out and I'll fight the giant. Without defeating him. So we find here, David now, he's fleeing from Saul. Saul after him, and he's found himself down in his cave, and he's weary and he's thirsty from the journey and from the warfare and the fleeing from Saul. So now let us take a good look at the well by the gate of Bethlehem. Notice that it's a certain well that David longed for a drink of the water from that well. It was that water. It was that well by the gate. Said he specified the one that won. I'm told that in Bethlehem there's not much water, but I'm sure there's more than one well, because David has specified the certain well. But when we begin to look at the well, we know there is only one that can satisfy the longing of the thirst in David, and that was that well by the gate. Now let us behold the well that God dug in Bethlehem. Say, God dug a well in Bethlehem. The Bible said in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14, he said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came with them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Notice that God said to all people. He didn't say just to Israel. He said, good tidings to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth of peace and goodwill toward men. Verse 15. And it came to pass that the angel were borne away from them in the heaven. The shepherds said, wanderer, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known. Now let's go see what God has done. God has dug a well in Bethlehem. Now, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ revealed to the woman, he revealed that he was the living water. The Bible said in John chapter 4, verse 10 through 15, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, And who had ever said that he'd give thee to drink? Thou would have asked of him, and he would give thee the living water. Then the woman said him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw in, and the well is deep. Oh, dear soul, you don't really know. That woman didn't know how deep the well was when she was talking that day. She didn't realize the one she was talking to was the well of water that springs up in everlasting life. Thank God she didn't grab it. And listen, they've been trying to measure that well for years. Men have stood and preached about that living water that comes from Jesus Christ. I mean, the depth of this well reveals the true purity of the water. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. I'm glad, thank God. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:20, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. From which then hast thou, she said, from which then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, dear child? Yes, sir. I mean, the one standing before you is greater than Jacob. Thank God he is the creator of Jacob. He's the one that made Jacob. Boy, I'm glad that old Syrophoenician woman, when she came this week, may God let me preach on this, but when she came, she looked at Jesus Christ and she said, truth, Lord, that the dogs eat from the crumb that falls from the basket. That gal realized who was standing before her. She realized he is the creator of the world. Boy, we need to grasp the fact that, boy, he said to her, answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh this water shall never thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Boy, he said to her, said, you drink of this water, and you will thirst again. But the water I shall give you, you shall never thirst again. Matter of fact, he told her, he said, it'd be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm glad April 30th, 1962, I drunk from that well of water that's been springing up into everlasting life ever since that 4 to 7 years. Thank God it's sprung up. Now, only Jesus Christ can give you the water that springs up into everlasting life. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting. No wonder, thank God, the children of Israel hold their Numbers chapter 21, verse 17. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, oh well, sing you to it. Hey, God, what we need down here this week is a well to spring up. Yeah. Oh, we need a well of water to spring up in the everlasting life. Now, sinners walk in here and they know how to walk into the power of God and go all around. And that well of water spring up, maybe some of them, and get a drink of that water and spring up in the everlasting life. Thank God I'm glad one day it spring up. Now listen, now David got a glimpse of God at that well because he poured it out before the Lord. I mean, David got a glimpse of God. But when you get a glimpse of God, it'll change your life. The Bible said, old David talking about over in Psalm 42, 1, 2, as my heart panteth after the water, but so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul's thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David said, talking about a deer, talking about an old deer, and he's running him, and the dogs are chasing him, and he's thirsty, and that deer's thinking about, he remembers that old brook of water. If I just get that old brook of water, get me a fresh drink, boy, I can run a long time. Oh, that's what David's talking about, trying to, that this great truth may stir again and real thirst in your heart. I'm talking about tonight, that the Holy Spirit of God put a real thirst in you, and you'll be stirred up for a real thirst of the living water. Oh, you want a fresh drink of that fountain that'll stir your soul, cut a shout in your heart, a skip in your heel, and God calls you over to run from God. Run from God. Now David poured out the water that he had gotten unto the Lord. Now my brother, it says that this water is more than just a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. There lies a great truth from God here. And David said this truth, for by not drinking that water, but pouring it out. The Bible said in Psalm 22:14, talking about Jesus Christ, he said, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. Boy, I'm telling you, but when you get there, think about it. One day when he poured that water out, Mother Jesus Christ was poured out on the cross of Calvary. He said, I'm poured out like water. He poured out his body, his soul, and his spirit down the cross of Calvary, that hell-bound sinners could know to come to know Jesus Christ, be born and birthed in the family of God, and head out yonder toward the land of endless ages. One day we're going to get to see him. How now these three mighty men, they broke through. They broke through there. They went that gate. They brought that water back to God. Like old David, but I'm glad David didn't drink that water. If David had drank that water, this truth would have been lost, that Jesus Christ was poured out. What a great truth it was that our Lord had saved your mother. He poured it all out on Calvary. I mean, he gave it all on the cross of Calvary, because while his father had forsaken him on the cross, listen, the Bible says over there in the book of Hebrews, it's talking about Jesus Christ and how he purged our sins by himself. That's why he cried out from Calvary and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. He wasn't, but he was taking your place. He took my place right there. But he done that because he didn't say, my Father. He said, my God, because he had just took Bobby Ellis' place on the cross of Calvary. He was now dying in that place on the cross of Calvary, paying for my sin, that God could forgive me and cleanse me. Oh, thank God I'm dead. He pointed all on Calvary.
Amen.
Now let us, by the grace of God, take a practical look at the well by the gate of Bethlehem. That's just water. There's nothing more about it important about it. Just water. This is just water. It's nothing really important about it. It'll quench the thirst. It's what man has to have it. But there's really nothing important about it. People water their lawns with it. I mean, water's just there's plenty of it. I mean, we got the drought back here. Everybody got a word about, oh my God, I'm thinking God always takes care of it. I'm not worried about it. People's talking about the wells running dry. I said, I'm not worried about my well going dry. Brother, my well didn't come close to going dry. People told them, well, what about your well at church? I said, it's 325 foot, bless God, 30 gallons of minute, and it ain't about to run dry. I said, these boys in these 100 foot wells might lose it. But boy, that man down to 275 foot, man, ain't no problem. It'll take a long time to get rid of it. So what? Not that important. David, the great king of Israel, as being anointed of God, was communing with God down there in that cave, and he's asking God for something. Now, according to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives, and thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would more have given unto you thee such and such things. In other words, God said, David, whatever you asked. I mean, David's down there. You know what he could ask? He could ask, he said, God, don't you kill Saul. Don't you kill Saul. God killed him. God killed Saul just as dead as anything. He didn't ask for the life of Saul. He didn't ask for the life. He just said, I want a drink of water. I want a drink of water by the well of it. Now, according to the Bible, a man's life is like water poured out. David, even though in the passage of this Holy Scripture is prophetical concerning the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, but David himself, down there in the cave, he's like a poured out. He's like water poured out on the ground. You pour water on the ground, it's just soaked up and it's cold. Job 3:23, for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roaring are poured out like water. Man is like poured out like water upon this earth. And now, what makes this water bad? Your man is just like water poured out, but what makes that water important? The king wanted it. That's what makes it. you know what makes me important? Jesus wanted me.
Right.
He wanted me. Like water. I may be like water poured out. But I'm going to tell you, I'm important because the King wanted me.
Amen.
The King wanted me.
I love it.
Yeah. Over in the book of Psalms, I believe it's chapter 2. The Bible said over there that God gave His Son. His Son asked Him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, ask the heathen, and I'll give them for an inheritance unto you. And God said, you ask that, and I'll give them. And He said, I'll only give them an inheritance. He said, I'll give you the possession of all this earth. Now, above this crowd knew it. I mean, Bush, all that crowd, they can give away that land over yonder and play all their games they want to. But I'm going to tell you one thing, that one day, after we go home and we pass the judgment seat of Christ, the King's coming.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, He ain't come
right
on an ass. He's come right on a stallion, brother. And He's come to take this world and He's going to take it by force.
Yeah.
I mean, He ain't come down and kiss nobody. I mean, He's coming down there. The United Nations is going to meet Him over in the Valley of Jezreel. And He's going to trail Him like a wine press. The blood's going to flow to the horse's bridle. And that valley is 53 miles wide, 150 miles long. And the blood's going to be about 6 foot deep in that valley. When He takes the United Nations over, and brother, He treads the United Nations. They may have kicked Him out of school. They may have kicked Him out of the government. They may have thrown Him out of America. But I'll tell you one thing. Thank God one day to come and the Lord of God will come with Him. We'll be right on that stand. Before we come down here to take over this world. So we run God's way. Thank God. I'm glad, Lord God, hallelujah. I mean, listen, He wanted me. He wanted me. Listen, I wasn't looking for God. Matter of fact, a friend of mine walked up to me one time and spoke and talked to me about getting saved. And I looked at him and I told him, if he ever talked to me about that again, I'd knock his teeth down his throat. I wasn't looking for God, man. And I'm the least one. But one morning, I'll tell you what God did. One night, next I bathed, had a child on the way, the one man preached. Now down about 4 o'clock in the morning, outside of bed, I said, God, I ain't fit for these kids. I said, God, I don't know how to get saved. But I don't want to die and go to hell. Now, God, I want you to show me how to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't be a daddy can raise them kids right. The next day, Brother Sonny Waller handed me a God's simple plan of salvation tracking chamomile company. Now, he was just as scared of me because he knew what I told Brother Tommy Marshall. He's almost afraid to hand me that track. He said, can I give you this? And I took it out of his hand. I said, yeah. I went over and I read that track. I said, God, it can't be that simple. It can't be that simple, God. With all the wicked lies that live, surely, God, there's something I got to do. Well, April 30th, I got up and went to Lane Street Baptist Church. Sat on that back pew, that's what that preacher said. Bless God, that's what he said. He said, the Lord said, come unto me, all you that labored heavily, and I'll give you a
chance.
Amen. I said, God, I'm tired of this sinful, wicked, ungodly life, and I need some rest. And thank God, I ran down by and called him by that, and said, my name's Bobby, up, and I'm going to hell. I won't get saved. I'm not telling you one thing. God save me. We're talking here before the service. I don't understand people that don't want to go to church.
Amen.
I don't understand you saying that Jesus Christ said, hey, listen, I've been saved 47 years, soon me. 48 years I've been saved by the grace of God, and I have never, never missed a service in the house of God in 47 years except twice in the hospital, one time laying on a bed, so sick. I went to California, son, and I made it plain and clear. I figured out where I could be so I'd be in church on Wednesday night between here and California, brother. I wasn't going to be out of church. Thank God, I was going to be in church.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I've seen the time, boy. And I was coming back for a revival meeting, and buddy, I had to be in the house of God, and I pushed it. And I know I had a boy preaching in that church, and I come walking into church. I said, keep preaching. I just got this guy here. If I ain't missing church, both preachers went on and said, well, I got so many preachers.
Not me, brother.
Right.
I don't tell you, Jesus Christ done something for me. Handful of 30 nights, that thing is 62. I'm telling you, done something for me that caused it to put a love in my heart for the house of God. I mean, I love the house of God.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Now let us, by the divine grace of God, let us look at this thing. David had that longing. Now, take a good look at yourselves. What makes you valuable? I mean, what makes you valuable? Nothing. You probably said it. I know I've said it. And I said it to one thing, that God showed me something. I said, I don't know why God saved me. The Lord said to me, He said, well, I'll tell you why I saved you. He said, I looked at you, and I didn't see nothing worse of you. But He said, I looked at myself, and I saw mercy.
Amen.
And I saw grace.
Amen.
He said, well, I'll do it. Show Him grace and mercy. He ain't worth saving.
Amen.
God, show Him grace and mercy. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Him in Himself and not at you. When He saved you, buddy, He saw in Himself that love, that mercy that He could show to you, that you could have life, you could have it more. But that's what made you valuable. Now again, what makes the water valuable? Well, these men hazarded their lives for it. These men hazarded their life. They took their life. Man, they went down there and took on the whole Philistine army down there just to get a drink of water for Him. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's somebody else who has their life more than that. That was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
I mean, brother, listen, this crowd talk about losing salvation. Let me tell you one thing. Do you think God put His Son through what He put Him through to put it in your hands to get to heaven, not on your life? God didn't lay His Son get beat till He didn't even look like a human on the cross of Calvary. He said, I'm a worm, a no man, to put it in your hands and trust you with it. My Lord God, He would trust me to the back door.
Amen.
God bless you in Jesus Christ. It's all about, listen, I got a sign on the back of my car that said, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not about you.
Amen.
This thing is about, the reason we got so much problem in the home, because the wife, she thinks it's about her. The husband thinks it's about him. The kids think it's about him. No! It's about Jesus Christ, and it's not about you.
Yes, Lord.
You all got trouble in church. You think it's about you. Well, the preacher thinks it's about him. No, bless God. It's about Jesus Christ.
Right. Right.
It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole book is about one person. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, that's why this crowd hates it. That's why they want to mess with it. That's why they don't like it. Because it's about Jesus Christ. And God to get to God, God supporting them to Jesus Christ. They don't want to get around God.
Amen.
That's right.
It's about Him. Thank God I'm blessed about Him. I was telling this dear sister years ago, as a young preacher, I was taught by older preachers. And so I was going to follow. I thought, this teaching me right. And I thought being mean made you a good preacher. Just how mean. There's a preacher who runs around all the countryside. I talked about he's the meanest preacher there are. Well, he can be all mean all he wants to. You know, well, wait till God talks to him one day.
Amen.
Yeah.
God got me one day. You know what He said to me? He said, boy, them's not your sheep.
That's right.
Them's my sheep.
Amen.
Yeah. I just put you over them to watch over them, take them. You're not to be Lord over the heritage of God. But I learned then how to love. Like people say, how can you stay there 40 years? Preach the Word of God and love them.
Amen.
Right. You hang around.
Amen.
Nobody going to be running you off on you.
Amen.
I was telling this sister, we had a family leave our church, and I hated when they left, and they're back. And I'm glad they're coming back. And his wife told my wife, said, you know why we're back? Wife said, no. Said, Brother Utley never did treat us as though we'd left. Said, every time we come to visit, he treated us just like we never was gone.
Amen.
And said, when we started thinking we need to find us another church, we got to think, Best thing I know to do is go back up there and brother up and serve. At least our children's going to hear the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And they're going to get doctoring up there, and then we're going to be loved up there.
Amen. Amen.
I have a dear friend of mine, and so he got mad at me and left. Man, he come in and threw the keys down, and he said, "I won't be back." I said, "Brother, I love you." And he left. Well, the church where he went to, that preacher comes at our revival, comes at our camp meeting, he brings his books to sell. And he was going to be gone. And he told us, "Brother, I want you to sell them books." He said, "I can't go back out there." I said, "Brother, they don't want me back out there." And he said, "I think you need to go talk to Brother. I think y'all need to get this thing straight." He called me on the phone. He started talking. I said, "Brother, it's only nothing against you, boy. You're welcome to New Testament Baptist Church anytime you want to come." But he got cancer. Boy, he got cancer. He knows he's going to die. He had that rectal cancer. It was bad. It was bad news. And he, that boy almost lost his mind when this did. And I got him actually got where he could. I got him to the church and preach one Wednesday night. And our church made up almost $1,000 for him. Our church ain't got that kind of money. They made up almost $1,000 for that boy. He just sat there and cried like a baby. You know? One preacher said, "I wouldn't have let him back in my church." I said, "That ain't the way Jesus does it."
Right.
That ain't the way Jesus operates.
Amen.
You can't find where Jesus ever done anything like that. You look in the Word of God, the only time Jesus ever dealt harsh with anybody is a bunch of Pharisees. Now that's a crowd of Roman. Now like that guy, that's the kind of crowd that Jesus gets on. It's a Pharisee. So he called me. Okay. On the phone, he said, "Brother Bobby, he didn't talk to you." I said, "Yeah, Brother Mitch, I do." I said, "What is it, son?" He said, "I done you wrong." He says, "You ain't never done nothing against me. I done you wrong. And I want you to forgive me." Well, I said, "Son, you've always." I said, "I forgive you when you walk out the door."
Amen.
I don't hold grudges. Grudges is for kids.
Amen.
Right.
The Bible says when you're a child, well, I'm a child, I spake as a child, but when I came a man, I put away my childish ways.
Right.
Amen. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't make no difference what anybody says about you or dies for you. You got to love them.
Right.
In the grace of God, and God will take care of
them. Exactly.
I always say, buddy, ain't going to be nothing between me and nobody. And you say, well, we'll let God settle it on the judgment seat. I don't have to settle here. We'll let God settle the problem on the judgment seat. I'm telling you, they hazard their life, but never did they hazard their life like Jesus Christ in Psalm 22, verse 12 and 13. "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of the nation have beset me around. They gape upon me with their mouth as a raven and roaring lion." Who does that sound like? I'm going to tell you, most people don't even know what went wrong with Calvary. People look at Calvary and they read there, but you need to read that book of Psalms. You need to go over to Psalm 22 and read that and take what really happened on Calvary.
Amen.
I mean, on Calvary, the devils were gnashing on Jesus Christ like roaring lion while he hung on the cross. They compassed him about, brother. All the devils of hell compassed the Son of God about. And brother, and his Father has forsaken him, and he's doing it all, brother. And he done it on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And buddy, they couldn't take his life. They tried to take his life. They wanted to take his life. But Jesus said, "No man taketh my life. Amen. I have power to lay it down. I have power to nobody can take his life."
Amen.
He laid his life down for me and you. What makes us so valuable is that we are poured out. We are poured out. And one day, we're going to be poured out. That's all we're to judge and see Christ. I mean, one day we will have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. People's got the idea and they're thinking they're going to give an account for their works. No, you ain't. It's seamless. Look over in the book, it's work. Not words, it's work. In other words, God gave you a word. God gave you a word. God gave you a word. And then we're going to face God with that word that God gave us. There's some people, "Well, preacher, I don't know what kind of work. Maybe gave you a work of being faithful."
Amen.
Maybe gave the work of prayer. I had a prayer warrior. Boy, I'm telling you, I can tell she went home to be a God too. this was one boy, she smoked all the time, and I'd get on to her and everything else, and finally she got it. Boy, she walked around that little canister, and she'd come to church and couldn't get her breath. She sat there one day, she said, "Preacher, you told me." I didn't listen. So I now I'm paying the price. Do you know what that woman said? She said, "I would not have a chance." She said, "I'm closer to God now than I've ever been in my life." She said, "I pray for you every day, preacher." She'd call me every day of my life. She'd even call me sometime out of town, when we'd be out of town, and say, "Preacher, I want to call you and tell you I love you, my faithful."
Amen.
Down there in the hospital. She's laying there and she's suffering. Her husband's beside her, some boys from some people from the church. Her kids couldn't take it. So this old boy started singing. And he started singing, "When I ring those golden bells." And he's singing that, "When I ring those golden bells." And they left. They left out of there. And when he said, "Can't you hear the bells now ringing?" I mean, she smiled, took one breath, and went home to be with God. Boy, they come running to that crying. I said, "No, you ain't to do nothing with the spiritual side of mom." So God didn't let you see her go home to glory. He let the people that love God to see her. Her husband loved God. He got to see her go home to glory. He got to look in her face, but and as she smiled and took a breath and left out of here, went home to be with God.
Yes.
One day we're going to Spain. By the way, do you need a drink? Do you need a drink of water? Then you're coming to pay the drink of water of the well of Bethlehem.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you have opportunity and chance. You're taking a drink of this water, this well. Maybe you need to call on there. Take a fresh drink.
Yes.
Of the well of water of Bethlehem.
Amen, brother.
You say, "Preacher, I need a drink." Well, it's terrible.
Yes.
God wants you there. I will tell you one thing. I'm hoping before this week's over that you're going to be so thirsty for God.
Amen.
That you're going to pick up your Bible and you're going to read it like you ain't never read it before in your life. Because you want everything God's got. And you're going to be so thirsty and everybody's going to be saying, "What's wrong with you?" Because you say, I'm just so thirsty for God. I'm so thirsty. I wish you'd come on and take me out of this world. I mean, you don't upset some people. You get that greed, joy, that thirst. I mean, this woman said, "Give me that drink of water that I never thirst again." I'm going to tell you one thing. I've thirsted a time or two since I've been saved. And brother, we need a thirst. I mean, we need a real thirst. I mean, we need a thirst like David had a thirst for the living God. We need to be thirsting for Him so much that we can't wait to get down to the house of God. This, I mean, you go home from here and you just can't wait to get back tomorrow.
Amen.
I just can't wait to get back. Man, I want a drink of that well again. I just can't wait to get back to Friday night. Boy, that Sunday, I just can't wait to get down to Sunday morning. I need another drink. That's what we need.
Amen.
Never hit by remember our clothes.
Yes.
You want God for the first thing in your soul for Him. Well, He'll do it. He'll do it if you want. God don't force Himself on nobody. You got to be willing just to get on the phone of God and say, "Lord, I want that drink. I want that thirst. I want that thirst of the well of Bethlehem. That well by the gate. I want a thirst for Jesus Christ that I just can't get enough of Him. I just can't get enough of being around to preach the Word of God, the souls of Zion, the fellowship, the brethren, sisters, that I just can't get enough of Him. I want another thing." Our Father, I come to Thee, and I'm asking God to give me that thirst, that real thirst. I mean, such a thirst I'm falling. I can't get enough of Jesus Christ. And I've got to hear about Him. I got to read about Him. I got to talk to Him. I got to fellowship with Him. I got to have that walk, close walk with Him. I got to hear His voice. Got to hear Him talking to me and telling me and guiding me and leading me
and comfort me. I got to have it at home, Father, and I'm asking God to do it. I'm asking you to do it for this people here, Lord. It's not by chance, Father, you sent me this way. It is not by chance. I know I believe here's a little band of people, God, that you're wanting to give a thirst to it. I know where in the New Testament Baptist Church, that's what's happening to us right now. We're wanting a thirst. We're wanting to get a thirst of God. I want to see the power of God get in the New Testament Baptist Church, Father. Like I saw years ago, I'm talking about God. When you come in the midst, it just looks like a fog set in. I'm talking about being so real. Our God, the people's hearts are being broken. God, I want to see it. And then I know that a preacher friend of mine down in Jacksonville, Florida, has been calling me, and he's wanting the same thing. Now, Lord, I'm asking you, God, all over this countryside, if we can get some fires burning. Now, Lord, we know that there ain't going to be no great revival. And America's done turned their back on God. But the people of God can have it, Lord. We don't have to go out of here defeated. I mean, when Jesus comes, we don't have to be a people defeated. We can have victory in our soul and our power and our life and go out here shouting, praising God, giving glory. Father, I'm asking you to do that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Can you come back and play the piano? The invitation tonight. I want you to stand to your feet. Turn your hymn books to page 81. We'll give you a couple of stanzas of Just As I Am. We heard the message tonight. It's up to us to react on it. For Jesus, how much we appreciate it. I tell you, this man preached.
Amen.
He preached. Holy Ghost used this man, Spirit of God.
Saturday night, and they knelt down, and while I was down there praying, God said, I want you to do something for me. He said, I want you to take these boys and go over yonder, Terrius, Joe's, Sergeant Pepper, Rowan, Kathy up there, and I forget what the other one was. He said, I want you to go and kneel down in the parking lot, and I want you to pray. On Saturday night, so we knelt down in a beer joint's parking lot. That crowd is out there. We down there on our knees, crying. Terry's is out of existence. There's a tax place there. Where Joe's was, that's a Burger King.
where Sergeant Pepper, that's a parts place, and where Roy and Derwood, that's a shopping center. God closed every one of them down. Now, I don't know why God just chose them ones to close down. I think he wanted to show he can do it. Amen.